8:31. Good Friday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice here on Newstalk 1330, FM 106.3. We are streaming live online at Newstalk1330.com. And this morning, you can see my handsome young guest who's joined us this morning on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. And I think one of our listeners or watchers this morning is definitely going to love him as he tries to give you $100. I'll introduce you to him here in just a second. But want to go to the random Christmas trivia cash giveaway question again, or for first time. My name's Colin Worthington. I always forget to do that. I just take it for granted you guys know me. But to be professional, my name's Colin Worthington. This is the random Christmas trivia cash giveaway question. Going to answer, ask the question, and when you know the answer, visit our website at newstalk1330.com. Click the random Christmas trivia banner. I believe it's at the bottom this year when you pop up on the website. So find that, enter your name, email, phone, and then, of course, your answer. One entry from the correct answers will be picked at random daily, and that contestant wins $100 cash. The disclaimer, please enter only once per day, because if you do enter more than one time per day, Joel, we'll blame it on Joel, Joel Brock will find that, and he will eliminate your answer, so you won't be able to win for that day. On December the 14th, between noon and 2 o'clock, one of our 12 daily winners, along with a 13th winner selected at random that morning, will have a chance to turn their $100 into $1,000 at a live remote broadcast at Carrollton on Ice, the new covered outdoor ice rink located at the Polar Pavilion at East Carrollton Rec Center, 410 North Lake Drive in Carrollton. With the question this morning, sir, please share that.
According to the Bible, how many wise men visited Jesus?
Is that really the question?
That's really the question.
You know the answer?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, you at home listening or watching this on Facebook, you know, if you don't know the answer, Google it and then go to our website at newstalk1330.com. Again, look for that banner and good luck winning your $100. I know Dwayne, the sales guide, sent us a list of a bunch of names who had already won, and I don't have it handy, but congratulations to those who have won so far. Is that me, Josh? You say me, Josh? Okay. And anyway, good luck. My guest this morning, Carrollton Fire Chief Alan English. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We hadn't had you on in about a year or so.
A year, maybe more than that.
More than that. It's, when were you put in that seat? When did you become chief?
April of 2022.
So that very well could have been the last time you were on the show.
It wasn't long after that.
Yeah. But we touch base a lot when things are going on and trying to keep the community informed through our news stories. One of the big reasons I brought you out here this morning was to talk about, you did have a fire last week, and it's, you know, it's cold out there. I think there's more reasons that you guys can expect fires. So I want to talk about that, maybe give some advice to people and just remind people of what they should do and what they can't do. And I was telling you, I take a lot of stuff for granted as far as, you know, I've got those surge protectors, so I think, all right, it's fine. I can plug everything in there, and I got the extra holes underneath it, so I can plug in,
fill them all up,
three, and you know, plug them in there too. But you're telling me that's not too wise,
right? You just need to take precaution when you use those things. Make sure you're not overloading them. Make sure you buy quality power strips, not some, you know, I don't want to down the dollar stores, but you probably need to be careful with what you buy.
I got you. And that, I guess that's what I was looking for, because, I mean, I'll tend to use those. If I can't steal them from Steve Graddick's closet, you know, for the radio stations, I will go to the dollar store and buy those.
Right.
But you're saying that it's not, I mean, is there a better way to tell which ones are good and which ones are not?
I try to just stick with name brand stuff that I've heard of before.
Yeah.
Make sure they have safety devices on them, fuses or little, you know, breakers that kick out if something goes wrong with them.
And there's a maximum of like six. I mean, you don't want to go higher than six for those surge protectors. I think there are some with eight, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't fill them every one of them up either, especially if you're running bigger stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff that has motors or heaters, that kind of stuff, you definitely would want to plug into one.
Are computers and printers considered bigger stuff?
Some of that stuff's starting to get where it's pulling a good bit of power, so that can be dangerous too if you're filling every single hole up with something.
Good gravy. You guys had a fire last week in Candy Circle, totally destroyed the house. Did you finish that investigation?
We're still working on the investigation, but it looks like it's probably going to be some kind of electrical issue, and more than likely it's going to be a power strip or something plugged into extension cords, too much stuff. Not sure yet, but that's kind of what it's looking like for us.
Yeah, and we put the GoFundMe page for that family on our Facebook at newstalk1330.com, so you know, if you care to try and help them out. But I think they're doing, I mean, I think the donations coming in are doing pretty well.
And I think they could use that. I think they really probably do need some help with that.
Okay. I mean, they lost pretty much everything in that house. Yeah. Two cars, too, right?
Yeah, two cars. And, you know, what didn't get burned got a lot of smoke and water damage, so it's going to take them a while to recover from that.
Are there any kind of warnings for that kind of stuff? I mean, for people who do still say, ah, no big deal. I mean, is there ever a warning, or it's just gonna happen when it happens?
Well, you know, smoke detectors is your best bet. Mm. And it's amazing how many houses we go into that don't have them or don't have working ones or have the batteries unplugged. And that's going to be what saves your life in a fire. Most of the time, you're not going to wake up unless some noise or something like that wakes you up. The smoke's not going to wake you up. So the more smoke detectors you have in your house, the safer you'll be or should be.
Is there a rule for smoke detector per square feet or something?
It's really like one on each level and one outside of each living area is kind of how they do it. You know, I've got way too many in my house, five or six, I think, in my house. So, you know, and another thing, we've partnered with the American Red Cross to have smoke detectors that we're able to go out and install in the community. If somebody has a need for some and they're not able to purchase those, then they can call the fire chief's office, and we'll be happy to come out and install those for you until we run out.
Oh, very good. And it's, I mean, if somebody's older or maybe can't do it themselves or can't reach, right?
Right. We'll come out, change batteries, just check the ones you have, whatever you need. If you'll call my office, we'll make an effort to come out there and help you.
You can't beat that.
Never lay down without a working smoke detector in your house.
Yeah.
Call me anytime so we don't have that happen.
Before I move on to the next subject, I think a lot of us know now that the fire department does a lot more than just, you know, respond to the fires. And I know I can joke. I mean, as a kid, I remember my mom calling the fire department to spray cats out of the tree twice.
We get those calls every now and then.
You still get those too. What other jobs are you guys responsible for? Because it's, I mean, if you don't have a fire one day, you guys are still out there.
Right. So, you know, the fire service has turned into a lot of medical calls. We run anywhere from 60 to 70% of our calls now are medical related. Calls, trouble breathing, chest pains, traumatic injuries, you know, vehicle accidents, those kinds of things. So we run a lot more than just fires. We probably run about maybe roughly 100 real fires a year, but we're going to run about 6,500 calls per year. So, you know, 6,400 of them is going to be something else, alarms or medical calls or you name it. When somebody doesn't know who to call, they call the fire department.
And I don't mind that everybody's out there, an ambulance is out there, police is out there, fire department. Well, what's the purpose of having
You know, almost everybody in our department is an EMT now. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have the equipment that the ambulances have on them, but we're able to at least render that first care, first responder type care to the patients, start on oxygen, check their vital signs. We can do some things for blood sugar issues, those kinds of things, and, you know, stop bleeding. There's a lot of things we can do. We just don't have all the equipment that the ambulance has.
It's Alan English, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, fire chief for the city of Carrollton. Any questions or comments, I encourage you to post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll try to share those after our first break. As far as staffing right now, how does that look for you guys?
We're pretty good. Right now we have two vacancies. We've got somebody coming up that's going to retire in a few weeks, and so we'll have three. The problem is just getting them trained. I was hoping we'd get some more certified guys in. We just hired a certified guy that was pre-certified before we came. But if we don't, we'll just have to have a recruit class after the first of the year or get them in a class somewhere.
Do you have to have been with a fire department at one point to get your certification, or you can do that before you even?
Be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure. I think you can pay your way through the fire academy. I don't know that we've ever had anybody
rather,
did that.
Yeah, you'd rather charge it to
your new employer. Cheaper for
you. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned you got a gentleman retiring here at the end of this year. Did you guys maybe want to give him a shout out? And then who else? Did you lose some other retirees this year too?
Well, we did. We had our fire marshal Tracy Smith retired back in late spring, early summer. And one of our battalion chiefs, Bill Messer, he retired, I believe, at the end of July. And then this is another battalion chief, Tim Spratlin. He's fixed to be retiring around the 22nd. Unless I can talk him out of it, he's going to retire. The 22nd will be his last day. So it'll make room for some promotions, and that's good for the department. But you hate to lose somebody that's got 30-plus years of experience as well.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for your work. And Tracy, I remember Tracy working with the Carroll County Fire Department for several years as well. When you guys are recruiting – and encouraging people to be part of the fire department. Did they come in like the buddy system? I mean, I would imagine this. I mean, to me personally, I think I'd want to have a friend with me who's into that as well. But I mean,
really want. You want somebody that knows somebody so you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, You know, when I came up, I was a volunteer in Harrelson County and did that for a number of years. And a lot of our guys were from that same situation. They volunteered either at Carroll or Harrelson County. Well, those departments don't have those volunteers anymore, so you don't have that outlet to get folks. So you're basically hiring people that may not have any idea what the fire service is about. They saw a fire truck go down the road. Hey, I'd like to go try to do that, which is great. But you don't know much about them when you hire them.
Was that you as a kid? You saw that fire truck go down the road and you said, that's what I want to be?
Actually, no, my stepfather kind of pointed. He was volunteering in Harrelson County back in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And I just, watching what he was doing, I got to go with him on a few calls. And that really, once it gets in, that's what I've always wanted to do.
Did you feel like that it was going to be a dangerous job when you first started it? I mean, did you realize how dangerous it could
be? No, I don't think you realize when you're young, you're just doing it for the excitement and the fun of it. So you don't see that danger till you've been in it a while and see the things that can happen, because it's a dangerous job.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, in the 80s, we were still saying, the kids were still saying I wanted to be, it was still an attractive job for some reason, maybe because of the heroes on TV and things like that. We were still saying
that. But the technology has advanced so much in the gear, the breathing apparatus, the meters and stuff we had. It's made the job a lot safer.
Yeah. How about what kind of skills do you look for? What kind of brain and outlook and feelings?
Well, it takes a little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
You need people that can do math and science and have good backgrounds in that, because there's a lot of math and science, and as far as fire science and hazardous materials, you need people that can do the math and science for those things. But you also need people that have mechanical skills. You want people that have electrical skills. We hire. It's good to have somebody that knows about plumbing. We've got a guy that does welding and, fabrication stuff. It's really, really good to have those kinds of people, too, because they can get you out of a jam. And you want mechanics, because they can help work on small issues that come up with the truck. So, we take everybody, any and everybody.
Got to be brave. You got to be confident, too.
Right.
And want to serve your
work
community.
Work good under pressure here.
Yeah. Time right now is 8:42. We'll take our first break and continue our conversation with Alan English. He is the fire chief for the city of Carrollton. Again, questions and comments, please post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. If you just want to say Happy Christmas to Big Al here or anything like that, feel free to do so. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Hey, 8:44. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning is Alan English. He's the chief for the City of Carrollton Fire Department. And very cool to have him join us. Although my initial reason for having him come on was just to warn us about all the things that could possibly go wrong as far as that would affect the fire department in the month of December and, I guess, January and February.
December, January, and February is when that's the 3 months with the largest number of home fires throughout the year.
For home fires, does that include, when you think about like when it starts getting crispy outside, is that a different category of fires? They're mostly, since it's outside fire, or?
That'll be the structure fires, home fires, building fires. Most of your woods fires and stuff will be during the, the summertime months. But
You did bring us, we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and you did bring us an example of something to look out for, in our homes.
So this was a heater that was plugged into an extension cord, And it just happens to be mine, and I was trying to heat actually a chicken coop outside. So I'm smart enough not to put it in my house. But some people do. They will hook these things to cheap, small extension cords, and it's a risk to burn your house down. But as you can see, this one kind of started melting down just from the heat, from the current it was pulling through that plug. So, you know, I might could have burned my chicken coop down if I hadn't have caught it when I did. But, you know, that's something you need to watch out for when you start plugging stuff into extension cords.
I mean, is that a stage? I mean, you noticing it, I would suspect, hey, you're probably looking for it, you know, maybe subconsciously every time, you know. But, I mean, is that a stage? Is that, like, something that would have happened, like, just that moment before you walked in? Or could that have been developing
for
a year?
It probably developed over a few days or a few hours at least. Mm-hmm. You know, the connection could have been a little bit loose where the plug plugs in. Or it could have just been the amount of current that it was pulling through that cord. It just overheated the connection inside and started getting it hot. I mean, it just started melting the plastic, and that's what was happening here. And eventually it would have got hot enough to set the surrounding materials on fire.
Yeah, that would make me nervous if I came across that myself. You it told me before the show started that you were surprised that you guys hadn't had a lot of calls so far on one thing. The you know, temperatures have dropped here over the last couple of weeks. We're getting temps down into the 20s and maybe even the teens with the wind chill and things like that. But fortunately, you guys haven't seen any issues with the pipes breaking. Right,
right. We didn't have that problem the last couple of days when it's been so cool, cold. I don't know that we've run any busted pipe calls thus far. But now when it warms up a little bit today, we may start getting some when stuff starts thawing out. But to this point, I don't know that we run many of those.
How big of a difference is it? I mean, when you leave that little drop in your sink,
I believe that makes a huge difference. Keeps that water from freezing up in the pipes and busting your pipes.
Yeah, is it warm water? Is what you're supposed to do? Does it doesn't matter.
I think just water in general. I don't think it has to be warm water.
And I guess the reason we don't do it, we just take it for granted that it's warm in our house, so they're going to be fine, right?
Right.
But those pipes do have, you know, could be it's in a crawl space or something that's getting a breeze.
Right.
So just another reminder. You can turn that into a news story just to remind folks, you know, just to drop their water. I think it's supposed to warm up this weekend,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I think our coldest days are over with, man.
Well, Wednesday.
Until.
Next Wednesday, it's going to be like 35 degrees and rain, but that's still a week away, so maybe we'll get some snow.
Yeah, there you go. It'll
be very exciting for me anyway. On the job training, we talked about the certification and how, you know, most people will wait till they into the job to get that certification. But you guys are, I mean, you're training. I mean, you've got a facility and everything, so you're, right, you're training throughout
so
the whole year.
So we, the fire department or the fire service in general, we have to have, depending on what certifications you have to have anywhere from 200 to 300 or 400 hours a year in training. And so we're just constantly, almost every day, you've got some kind of training when you come to work that you've got to do. You know, we try to have at least 4 to 8 hour block each week. And then there'll be a bunch of just 1 hour. It may just be a review of some of our SOPs or, you know, some facet of firefighting or rescue, those kinds of things. It may be a class on ropes and knots. You just have to review that stuff. But then we'll have hazmat training, our EMS training, and then general firefighter training that we do. So it's just almost every day you've got something you have to do to keep that certification up every year.
Hmm. How often do you guys come across something that you – you know, it's like, wow, we haven't faced that problem before. You know, I mean, no matter how minor it was, or it's like, you know, if we, you know, not that it led to something, you know, really bad, but you saw something and say, wow, well, this would have happened. Maybe we would have had to do this. I mean, are there things that you come across and have to go back and discuss?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things now is like the electric vehicles. That's changed the way you have to fight fire with those things. It can take thousands of gallons of water to put one of those out. And then there's special techniques as far as how to deal with those. So that's one of the newer things that's come out there that we're having to look at and have extra training on. And, you know, that's the one thing that drew me to the fire service. Every day is something different. Yeah. Every single day. You very rarely do the same thing every day.
I know you got a couple of things you want to talk about, and we'll do that in the third segment. Time right now is 8:49. Let me ask you this. This is off the wall. Are fire chiefs allowed to drive the fire truck?
Oh, I can drive. I'm certified to drive the truck.
Yeah, but you're allowed. There's no rules against fire chiefs driving a truck.
No, as long as you have the training and stuff.
Is that what it is? This is a story that goes back to the 1940s. All right, and this is in Fayetteville, West Virginia, and there was a family, an Italian family, and I'll tell you, they are actually the ancestors of my niece. And there's a podcast out there about it too. If you want to go, if you're into the mysteries and stuff all over the world. But it happened in the 40s, and there was a big fire in their house. It ended up going up in flames like in 45 minutes, and it's alleged that maybe the mafia did it because he was anti-Mussolini and things like that. But there's these five kids that are missing. Bodies never recovered in the fire. So there's all kinds of stories about that. It's an interesting podcast. Fayetteville, West Virginia, children, fire. Google that and it'll come up. But one of the excuses for the fire chief was like, I'm not allowed to drive the fire truck. Has that ever been like something, like a rule or anything like that?
No, not that I know of. As long as you have the training and certifications to do that. And we have a pretty extensive driver training program that everybody has to go through, which I complete. I drove from 96 to 2004. That was my primary job, was driving the fire truck. So I had plenty of – I would be a little rusty if I had to go drive the brand new ladder truck right now. But
well, this was – the excuse was it wasn't right. allowed. I mean, there were 15 other clues that make it an interesting right. thing. But
and that could be an issue in West Virginia. But
in 1945.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as I know here, that's not a nothing.
There were plenty of other issues too. But hey, I encourage you, if you're into those kind of stories, that podcast is out there. Let me take our final break here. We'll come back with about 7 minutes with Carrollton Fire Chief Alan English. Again, if you have any questions or comments, post it to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. I believe we may check in with Michael Vincent or somebody broadcasting live from the Toys for Tots events too. We'll see if we can check in with him during this break. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Day number two of our Toys for Tots drive with Southwire's Project Gift. And in honor of today's Christmassy feel, Great Classics 98.9 is playing Christmas music all day long. So you can come on by and get that Christmassy feel with us right here at the Walmart Supercenter parking lot. Well, you don't have to. That's the beauty of it. We have the Project Gift volunteers here, and they will unload you and get on your way. If you have a truck full of toys, a backseat full of toys, or you even have one toy, just drop it on by, stay in the warmth of your car, and they'll take care of it and get you on your way. So you have that favorite Christmas gift that you got that one year that you remember? Mine was actually a clock radio. Yes, this is a long time ago. Matter of fact, I still have that clock radio. It's going to be, that thing's going to turn 47 years old this year. Wow, and it still works. But there are kids that they have that Christmas wish list and that gift in their mind that they're not going to get on Christmas morning. They're not going to get anything on Christmas morning, and that's just the way it is. And it could be some folks just down the street from where you live, and you have no idea about it, but this is where we come in. We get to play Santa Claus and make Christmas possible for kids who otherwise wouldn't have one. That's what the Toys for Tots is all about. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock tonight. Now, if you don't have time to shop, that's okay. We have the 12 for Life kids that will do the shopping for you. You can drop off a monetary donation here, and the Project Gift volunteers will take those 12 for Life kids, and nothing like kids shopping for kids because they know what to get. Some of us adults get, like, I don't know what the kid's going to like. So we'll leave her a new unwrapped toy for kids, infant through 17, here till 7 o'clock tonight. Come and give what you can. It'll make you feel good. It really will. It'll warm you up in this cold weather, that's for sure. So come on by. It's Michael Vincent broadcasting live with the Toys for Tots Drive and Southwire's Project Gift.
All right, 8:56. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Alan English. He is fire chief for the city of Carrollton. Got about 4 minutes to go with him. Want to just touch on some things that are, worth bragging about and letting people know about. You guys did get some new fire trucks this year, right?
Right. At the beginning of this year, we got a new ladder truck.
Yeah.
And then we're going in a couple of weeks up to Ohio to do the final post-construction inspection of two fire engines, and then we'll have to go again sometime after the first year for two more. So we're getting four fire engines that the mayor and council have blessed us by approving that. It's taken a couple of years to get them, actually about 3 years to get them.
And you got to get a head start on that. I mean, if you're starting to work on them, it's not like they can be on their last leg and you say, hey, guys, we need that. What's the life?
You want to get about 20 years out of them. The reserves that we currently have are about 30 years old, and that's the problem. Your reserves have to be almost as good as your frontline trucks because you never know when you're going to be in them. A nail in the road will put you in a reserve. Mm. A hose blows, you're going to have to go in a reserve. So it's very important to have very, very good reserve trucks as well as your frontline trucks. So those being about 30 years, the trucks we have now are about 10 years old. These will go into reserves. And so we'll have new frontline ones and then 10-year-old reserves. So we'll be in really, really good shape.
How old is that new facility on Central High? Is that 4 years, 5 years?
It's actually 2 years ago when we opened it. Okay. It's going really well. Yeah. Good. I think the guys love working out there.
Yeah. It was 2 years ago. I remember Joel went out there and did a little package and put it together and went out there. I was thinking that
it's
was
very, very nice.
COVID.
That's worked out really, really nice.
Oh, yeah. So
plenty of room.
How many other facilities do they have in Carrollton?
So we've got that one plus three more.
Okay. And they're all in pretty good shape at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Our headquarters station's the oldest one. It's about right at 30 years old since where they moved into it. But then the other two are less than 20.
We good on equipment as far as
we've been blessed. We've really been blessed with the equipment we've got on the trucks and, of course, having the new trucks, too.
You guys going to participate in the upcoming parade?
Yes. Yep. We're going to have our new ladder truck and an engine in the parade, and also they want our 1960-something GMC pickup truck in the parade, so it's going to be in there as well.
Very cool. You guys,
if I can find somebody to drive it.
To drive it. Heck, yeah. I'd drive it. That'd be fun. Do you guys have a playful ribbing with the police still, Carrollton Police?
We do still, yeah.
Anybody you want to talk smack to since you have the opportunity? They won't have the opportunity to say anything back.
I'm good. They'll get me back somehow if I do.
I have seen you guys.
No, we really do get along very well with them. There's some really good guys down there.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I've seen you guys go back and forth. You haven't had a wing-eating competition in the last decade either.
I remember the last one up on the square at Mayfest maybe, or Taste of Carrollton.
Yes. Yeah, Taste of Carrollton. All right, you want to give a big shout out to anybody, say hi to your wife?
My wife Melanie, she's at home working, so yeah, I'd like to say hi to her, have a great day. My oldest daughter Katrin, she just had surgery this week, so she's kind of laid up in bed, not feeling very well. And my other daughter Allie, she's at work at West Georgia Gastroenterology today, so say hi to her too.
Yeah, very good, very good. Alan, it's always good to see you, man.
You too. Thank you.
And appreciate your info and your updates and your advice on this morning's Community Voice program. If you missed any of the show, it'll be in podcast form on our website here shortly, newstalk1330.com. And, of course, it'll be on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page forever. Again, thank you, Alan. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Joel. And want to remind everybody of the Toys for Tots drive that's going on this morning and through 7 o'clock this evening outside the Super Walmart in Carrollton. And about this time, if it hasn't already happened, Shop with a Cop is going on. You'll see about 40 Carrollton police cars on Highway 27 traveling south. They'll have their sirens on, and they'll have the blue lights on, but don't sweat it. They're just doing Shop with a Cop. It won't be an issue. We always get phone calls every time that happens. You know, people are worried. Giving us a news tip, but that is the Shop with the Cop this morning, and I think they do it three more times next week, so you can expect that to happen next week. Whew. Thank you for listening to this morning's program. Go out and have a great weekend. Time right now is 8:59. Stay tuned for national headlines on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.